Now we have our second scripture reading, which is intrinsically connected to the message on Lord's Day 47. Ezekiel 36, 16 to 28. As you listen to this being read, ask yourself, why is he reading this? What's the connection to hallowing the name of God? Okay? The word of the Lord came to me, Son of Man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways came before me. They were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries in accordance with their ways and their deeds. I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. In that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord. And yet, they had to go out of the land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's a pliable heart. Heart of stone you can't do anything with, but a heart of flesh is pliable. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. The text then is the Word of God summarized in Lord's Day 47. I never really say the text is the Lord's Day. Have you noticed that? Because the text is not a human document. And I know it says that in the bulletin, and that's not Shelley's fault. I mean, that's just the way it got made. But I always say the text is the Word of God. Okay? The text is the Bible. As a certain piece of the Bible has been summarized by a human document, which is the Heidelberg Catechism. And this evening it is Lord's Day 47. What does the first petition mean? Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works, and for all that shines forth from them, such as your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. So that's a summary of the Word of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how often do you and I pray that God's name would be hallowed? And if we do pray that petition, what place does that petition have in your prayers and in my prayer? Is it perhaps at the top of the list? Halfway down, perhaps? God forbid. Maybe even close to the bottom. Again, there's always a way to get the question into a sharper focus that helps us in understanding the question that we're asking ourselves. And so we could rephrase the question by asking ourselves, how often do we pray that you and I might know God? So not just know about Him, but actually know God by acquaintance. That the God to whom we are praying, the God whom we worship, is a holy, transcendent God in a league all by Himself. There's no one like our God. And then you can, zoom in a bit more. That you and I might know this God, again, not just know about, but know by acquaintance, by experience. That we may know this God in His almighty power. If He's in a league all by Himself, then we may know Him in His almighty power and His wisdom, His kindness, and His justice, His mercy, and His truth. And then, the more that you and I get to know this God, in the wealth of who He is, the splendor of who He is, that we bow down in worship and adoration and honor of this God in a league all by Himself. Again, we can zoom it in a bit more. How often do you and I pray that we may know by experience, by acquaintance, this God, this Almighty God, in a league all by Himself, in His works, His works of creation in the universe, His works of creation in our own lives, and His works in the history of this world. We kind of like see the hand of God in ourselves. We see the fingerprints of God on our bodies and on our souls. And we see the fingerprints of God in the history of this world. And the more that God opens our eyes to seeing and knowing God and His works like this, that the more that you and I say, "This is my God. I worship you, God, Father. I adore you. I honor you, Father, as God." And last but not least, we're still asking ourselves this question about what place does "Hallowed be your name" have in our prayer life? That's the question we're answering. And so last but not least, how often do you and I pray that God would direct our thinking? It's easy to exclude that and say, well, as long as God directs my tongue, you know, my actions. But it begins here with that God would direct our thinking, our speaking, and our acting in such a way that God is always glorified. Yeah, by what we think. Yeah, a lot of people don't even know what you're thinking. You do. And God does. You know? And I'm embarrassed sometimes what I think about. That God may always be glorified in our thinking, our speaking, and our action. And especially that He would never, ever be blasphemed, held in contempt. Like, what a ridiculous God these people are worshiping. They say this, but look at how they live. Look at how they talk. What place does that have in your prayer life and in my prayer life? The first petition teaches us, Jesus teaches us, that if you want to learn how to pray, remember the disciples asked Him, "Teach us how to pray." And the first thing He says after the address is, this is the first thing you should be praying about. "Hallowed be your name." Now, your name is God. God is His name. It's like, kind of like I'm my name. And you're your name. If they call out Jeremy, so he's talking about you, right? Talking about you. And so God is His name. God is "I am who I am." And the Hebrew allows for a future translation as well. "I will be who I will be." And then you just kind of add in brackets, "I will be with you." That's who God is. And as such a God, a God who is with us, like Emmanuel, right? The New Testament picks up on that. Emmanuel, God with us. As the God who is with us, God makes a name for Himself. So God is His name. And then, and His name is, "I will be with you." And then as the God who is with us, He makes a name for Himself, a reputation. A singer has a name, a sports player has a name, and we say that's the reputation of that person. So when we look at this first petition and we say, Jesus says you got to pray for the hallowing of God's name, it means the godness of God and the reputation that God has as God. May that name, the godness of this God, be hallowed. And to hallow something is to set something apart as very special. So when Jesus says, pray that the Father's name would be hallowed, that the godness of God, His almighty power and wisdom, His kindness and His justice, His mercy and His truth, that we would set that apart as something very, very special. It's special to us. And this godness of God, all might and wisdom and so, permeates all of reality. In fact, you and I can have an interactive, conversational life of prayer with this God who is in a league all by Himself. And we can call Him our Father. We can trust Him. We can put our full weight on this God. So hallowing God and the reputation of this God means that, Father, You are the most special person in our lives. We love You. We worship You. We honor You. And we obey You. It shouldn't be very hard for you and me to do that. Because quite frankly, we were made to do that. It's in our DNA. We were made as worshiping creatures. Worshiping creatures. Just think of all the false religions. All the idolatry. Why do you think people do that? Why do you think there are Buddhists? Why do you think there are Muslims? And you can fill in any other religion. Because a human being, it's in his DNA to worship something or someone greater than himself. And to find the meaning and the purpose and the connection of his or her life in that worship of the something or someone greater than himself. You see that with the false religions. You also see that with the worship of celebrities. Sports celebrities. Business celebrities. Entertainment celebrities. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is worshiping someone or something. And finding the meaning and significance of their lives in that worshiping something or someone bigger and beyond themselves. Some people say, you know, I'm not religious. Well, that's hullabaloo. Everybody is religious. Everybody's religious. We were made as religious people, as worshiping creatures, worshiping beings. And so, it shouldn't be so hard for us to set the name of the Father apart as very, very special for us. And yet, how is it in your life? How is it in my life? Think of the questions I asked in the introduction to my sermon. We have difficulty doing that with God. Maybe we have less difficulty doing that with money. Or doing it with something else. But somehow with God, it seems like we have more difficulty in making Him the most special person in our lives. And finding the meaning and significance and connection of our lives in the worship of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you also see that with the people of Israel. They were chosen by God to be God's special people. Hear, Israel, I want you to participate with me, thankfully, attentively, in my mission for my glory. and you look at the history of Israel in the Old Testament, it was a huge, difficult problem for Israel to do that. To show each other and to show the nations the face of God. That's another way to paraphrase participating with God in His mission for His glory. When others see you, they have an encounter with the face of God. That's what God wants. It's also included in the fact that we are the image of God. Israel couldn't do it. And why couldn't Israel do it? Why didn't Israel do it? Well, why don't you do it? Why don't I do it? Just think of what is foremost in your petitions, in your prayers to God. And let me think, it's a level playing field, what is foremost in my petitions. Could be the health of someone. It's a good thing to pray for, of course. Could be our own health. Could be this problem. Could be that problem. You know better than I know what you tend to pray for a lot. And I know better than you do what I tend to pray for a lot. But if we're honest with each other, the hallowing of the name of the Father does not have the prominent place in our petitionary prayer, the place that it should have. If it doesn't, and it doesn't, do you know what God has to do? God has to hallow His own name. If you and I are not going to pray for that and make it number one in our petitions, yeah, then God has to do it. God has to hallow His own name, His own godness, and the reputation of Him being God. God has to hallow His own name. And you see that in that little word be. Hallowed be your name. Someone else has got to do it. And so God does it. Lord, you show us and you show the world your godness. Just how special you really are. And that's why I read from Ezekiel 36. Israel did a very poor job in showing the face of God. Like, it's pretty graphic language there in Ezekiel 36. Did a poor job in showing each other and the nations the face of God. And so what does God do? He sends them off into exile. And when they get into exile, what do the nations say? Yeah, they profane the name of the Lord. It's like this. Look at these people. The Lord brings them out of Egypt. He has them kill all the Canaanites. Yeah, they don't do that, but told him to kill all the Canaanites. And then he vomits them out of the land again. Like, who is this God? He's certainly not almighty in His power. Doesn't look like a very wise God. This God is a quitter. He begins something and He doesn't finish it. See, that's how the nations are talking about the Lord. They are profaning the name of the Lord. But it's Israel's fault that they're saying that. But the beautiful thing is, God isn't a quitter. When God starts something, He finishes it. And so He hallows His own name. And how does He hallow His own name? By bringing the people back out of the Babylonian exile, at least some of them, back into the land of Palestine. He's going to cleanse them of their sins. Clean them. He's going to put a new spirit in them and get rid of that heart of stone. Why, he's going to put his own Holy Spirit in them. He's going to write his law upon the tablets of their hearts. Now, the next chapter in Ezekiel, and if you have your Bibles open, you might want to have a peek at that. So we read from Ezekiel 36. What's the next chapter? The Valley of the Dry Bones. And these bones come to life. You see the connection? This bringing of Israel back. I mean, they were lost. They were really lost. Bringing them back is like a resurrection from the dead. And you know, every conversion to God is like a resurrection from the dead. And when God does that to his people Israel, raising them from their spiritual death, he is hallowing his own name because the people didn't do it. And that's what you and I are praying for in the first petition. That God would hallow his own name. Remember, name is his godness. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. With which he makes a reputation, a name for himself. We are praying that God would hallow his own name, make that very special in and through us. Just like he did that in and through Israel by raising them from their spiritual death. And the first thing that that involves is, Father, help us to know you. Help us to know who you are in your godness and the reputation of who you are. Again, those six adjectives, almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. Like, he's in a league all by himself. So you and I see power. We see electrical power. And then we say, who's the source of all of that power? Well, ultimately, God is the source of all power. And we see a wise person. And we say, wow, that person's a wise person. And then we say, you know who's the source of that wisdom? God is the source of that wisdom. We see a merciful and a kind person. You don't have to ooh and ah all over that person. Well, you may do that if you like. But, you know, you should actually ooh and ah over God. God who's in a league all by himself. And he's the source of all of that wisdom, all of that mercy, all of that kindness. There's a little phrase you might want to remember. We are because he is. You got that? We are because he is. It's the question of why is there something and not nothing? Well, God. That's why there's something and not nothing. We are because he is. And when you pray, hallowed be your name, it begins with, ah, may I just know by acquaintance just how great you really are. And then to worship God, to praise and adore that God, and to honor that God for who he is. We say, like, who is like you, O God? Majestic in power, majestic in wisdom, and you can fill in the rest. To whom can we compare you, O Lord? We bow down in worship before you. And notice what the human document says. the catechism begins with that little word, help. Help us. See, God needs to do it. You and I can't do it. And so we say, Father, help us to know you like that so that we can worship you for who you are. And we can participate in the drama of your mission for your glory, showing each other and the nations around us your face so that they too will bow down in worship before you. So, begins with knowing who God is. It continues with knowing God in his works. For instance, his work in the macro creation. There was a reason why we sang Psalm 8c. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky proclaims his handiwork. Wherever you and I look, we can actually are able to see the fingerprints of God. But often we run the risk that our eyes just see the visible. And we don't see any deeper than the visible. And we fail to see those fingerprints of God on the universe, the billions of galaxies, and the billions of stars in one of those galaxies, as your catechism book has, or one of your catechism, the one that Brother Plagerman teaches. He handed me the book, and it's in there, all the billions. You see the fingerprints of God. And you see the fingerprints of God just in the world all around you. How beautifully it's all put together. Also, getting back to the macro, if the earth was tilted just a little bit more like this, away from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. And if the earth was tilted just a little bit more this way towards the sun, we'd have climate change, you know, out the roof. We'd all fry to death. And God just made it in such a way that it's tilted at the right angle. Oh, God in a league all by himself. The wisdom of this God. And you don't just see it around you. Look at your own body. Look at your own mind. Look at your own soul. Intricately woven together, piece by piece, by the Holy Spirit. As the holy knitter, knitting the little eyelashes, you know, on your eyelash, on the little hairs there, you know, on your eyelash. And he's knitting this little piece together, and 9 months later, normally speaking, you know, everything's all healthy. Like who can do that? Only God in a league all by himself can do that. Almighty in power and in wisdom. And then look at who you are spiritually. A member of the body of Christ. A temple of the Holy Spirit. Made and remade for union and communion with the Father in the Son through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Father, help us. Help us to know you in your works, that we may see you with the eyes of our hearts and just worship you as the most special person in the universe and the most special person in our own lives. And it continues with knowing God in his work in history. Romans 9:10 and 11. form that famous chapter in Paul's epistle to the Romans about the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul is grieved that so many Jews don't believe in Jesus. And then Paul writes about the olive tree, Jews being taken off, and wild olive shoots being grafted in. And he ends that chapter by saying, "Oh, the blessed God, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has ever given a gift to God that God would have to repay that person? Who's ever been his counselor? For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory, both now and forevermore." See? That's seeing God, the godness of God, and the reputation of God. I am who I am. I will be who I will be in history. And you say, "Father, hallowed be your name. Help me to see this, that you are sovereign. You uphold everything. It's all from you, through you, and to you." And then bow down and worship before this God. "This is my God, and I shall praise him." And last but not least, it continues that we ask God to direct our thinking, our speaking, and our actions in such a way that God's name is always glorified and never blasphemed. The reason why God chose Israel as his partner, his covenant partner, was to make the nations envious. The more Israel would show the face of God to one another and to the nations, the more God was going to use that to bring the nations to belief in God as well. So that the nations would also say, "This is our God, whom we bow down before and worship." And the reason why God has chosen you and me as his church is the same. God wants us to show the face of God to each other and to a watching world, so that a watching world gets envious and wants to worship and adore God too, for who he is, what he all does. Imagine if the opposite happens, like with Israel. Wouldn't that be awful? Ask yourself the question, and I ask myself the question as well. How envious do I really make other people because I'm a Christian? Can you name anybody who has become envious for the Christian faith because they saw the face of God in you? And again, when I say that to you, I say that to myself as well. And when we pray the first petition, we're saying, "Father, by nature we do such a lousy job. Help us. Help us now to direct our thinking and our speaking and our actions in such a way that others see your face in our speech and our actions." Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works, for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And Father, help us to direct all of our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Amen.